This show is part of the Pika Science Podcast, studying the intersection of video games and science.
Who's that podcast host?
It's
Ben.
Welcome back, everyone, to Who's That Podcast Host? And today I'm joined with, wait a second, who are you?
Who am I? I'm Ben.
I couldn't help but laugh there, sorry. So, what is your background in field of study?
Yes, so as I said, my name is Ben, and currently I'm a PhD student at George Washington University, and my official degree title is American Studies. But my background and expertise is in like human culture, digital media, communication. I'm really looking at cultural studies at large. And I have a lot of background in kind of like humanities fields in general. So history, literature, women's studies. I have a little bit of sociology. So kind of a lot, but I try to put it all into one place.
So what kind of work have you done in your field?
What kind of work have I done? So I am planning to write my dissertation about the Pokemon franchise. So I have to do a lot of like meta-analysis of Pokemon, not just the game, but how people interact with it. So what I've done so far...
I mean, this podcast is a great case study.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I love to talk about what we talk about, you know, science and all that stuff, but I love to also see how the cast members interact with the object as well. It's very fun. But so far in my program, I've written a couple research papers. I did one last year about how people on TikTok interact with Pokemon, and by and large, that community is often queer. So I was kind of looking at how and why.
Pokemon community queer? You don't say. I saw the PokeLogic page share a meme on the trans day of visibility, and I saw some Pokemon fans lose their crap, Ben. Like,
in a good or bad way?
If you imagined a like 40-year-old man had never heard that queer people existed before.
Oh Lord. Oh, great,
I think that's
great.
The best way to describe that. Or
yeah, no, that says a lot. But it's funny. Yeah, it's funny because most people I know, like Pokemon fans and queer people, is like, it's not even a Venn diagram. It's just a circle. So.
I mean, it's not, on the show, there's obviously a few of us who are part of the alphabet mafia. But... I mean, it's not everyone for sure, but yeah, no, definitely a large, I feel like it's Pokemon is a larger circle overlapping the queer community circle. Maybe that's a better, it's like a circle.
Yeah.
A circle,
and that's what I was trying to research.
Yeah. I think a lot of nerd culture sees that too, which always baffles me when people like freak out about like X-Men, when you're like, have you ever read X-Men?
Okay, right? They announced a new something about it. Yeah, the same thing is they're still talking about whether or not it is a metaphor for queerness. And I'm like, of course, hello.
I mean, there are like so many queer coded characters in X-Men. Like, have you all met Mystique?
Hello?
Mystique, you know, the lesbian couple that had a baby.
Of course. Yeah, how could I have missed that?
Come on, Ben, get up on your queer pop culture references.
So I'm sorry, there's too many.
That's awesome, and I love sharing it with people. That's what you do here, because I think that's awesome. So what previous work, if any, have you done with podcasting?
I actually don't have a ton of background in podcasting. I once upon a time had a YouTube channel back in high school that was very, I had like 3 video uploads. It was not a lot. And then I wanted to make a podcast with my best friend, but that never came to fruition. So really, this is like my first big foray into this format.
Aw. Well, we can be your best friends now. that you have to compete with all three of mine.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You have to fight all three of mine to the death. So what other experiences do you
have? Smash Bros. Battle, I'm in.
I mean, that's not fair. I don't think Sarah has the coordination for video games.
Okay.
So what experiences do you have that help you as part of the team here?
I will say, not to brag, but I've been playing Pokemon for a very long time. I think probably 20 years now.
Okay.
I think it's probably 20 years, maybe a little more. So just on that note, like, I have an extensive background of just like the franchise and the games themselves. I feel like I have a really, almost like a special interest in Pokemon. I feel like I know way too much. It's taking up too much room in my brain for other things.
In the Pokemon region.
Yes.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yes.
Who is your favorite Pokemon?
My favorite Pokemon, I usually go with Swampert because it was my first starter ever.
He's
way
a
back
great
in
Pokemon,
Pokemon Sapphire. Yeah, yeah. It was the first. Oh, he's amazing. First level 100 I ever had. Very nostalgic reasons, right?
Sure.
Like, I have some other ones that I love. I really love the Togepi line. I love Ampharos. I love the Pikachu clones are great, you know, Plusle and Minon, Emolga, like that whole line is great. But Swampert's really it for me.
Okay. No, I get it. I have a Swampert. I have an old 2000, oh gosh, I think it may be 2004 or 2005 Pokemon Center Swampert plush. It was a hard find. Yes. It was a really hard find. It was a hard find. I think it's worth like several hundred dollars. I will never get rid of it. That is one of my babies. It is one of my babies. So what do you want to talk about most on the show?
I love that. What do I want to talk about most? As of now, there's been a lot of ideas we've had circulating about like the sociocultural aspects of Pokemon. I know like when we did the Paldea region episode, we talked about like the food cultures, the religious aspects. I really love talking about that sort of thing, like all these different dimensions of culture. And Pokemon's so interesting because it's really focused on the animal part, and there's a lot to talk about with science and ecology, and we really do a lot with that in this show. But there's so much in the background that has to do with, you know, how do the human characters interact with each other? How do they portray the relationships between the human and the Pokemon? I love that stuff.
I mean, I would love to talk about how different the cultural paradigms present in each generation or each time period during game development has actually influenced the villains in the games. Because if you think about it, they match period like pretty well. The 90s gangs. You know, the first game that was in development in 2000, 2001. The first game in development during that time is Eco Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
And
no,
then
makes total sense.
Immediately after that, we get like these huge, massive, like world ending terrorists.
It's, if you look at it, it's absolutely, you can see how they plot it. Yeah.
Wait, which makes it even better though, when you look at Gen 9. And look at all the subplots and you're like, oh, grief is the villain here. Grief, grief and bullying and, you know, self-reflection. And it's gone very interpersonal. And I think we see that as a shift as a society post-COVID too. I think that kind of hit the nail really well.
Yeah, it's really timely. No, it's like Pokemon's always culturally relevant. Always,
yeah,
always.
Yeah, they do a good job. How would you like to see the show change and grow?
Change and grow.
Yeah,
I love our potential plans for expansion. So bringing on more cast members. I think a lot of my mentors in the past have said the quote, nobody has the sum total of all knowledge. You have to share knowledge with each other because we all have different backgrounds and expertise. So I think bringing on more people who have more diverse backgrounds in like what their expertise is and what their fields are is super exciting. I know we're looking for some more like hard science people, chemistry, physics, some of these scientific backgrounds that we don't necessarily have yet. And also expanding into other game worlds too. I know we have talked about Final Fantasy, we've talked about Xenoblade, Minecraft, a lot of these other games that have a lot of very cool elements that we would love to discuss.
Come on, guys, a whole Dark Cloud podcast.
Yeah, come on. Like, if we're not going to do it, who is?
Ben's like, I don't even know what that is.
I have no idea.
It was one of the coolest RPGs ever. It was on PS2 and the entire world has like lost memory. Yeah. Oh no, it was like launch era PS2. Like I got it when it first came out. And as you are going through the story, you collect pieces of each town that you're visiting and you rebuild the town and like you decide where things go and how it gets laid out and everything.
Whoa, that sounds super cool.
I mean, kind of like how Zelda incorporated stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was doing it on a PS2 game. It was really cool. It was a cool game. They made a sequel, not as good.
Yeah, well.
Like the sequel removed the entire town mechanic.
Oh, okay. So totally different game. Okay.
Don't you love it when games do that?
Yeah. Sometimes, great. Mechanics get, you know, stuck in the past.
It's like Pirates 4. You guys took out the parts that made Pirates good. Putting Miley Cyrus there didn't make it better. Not that I don't love Miley.
But time and place.
All right, so Ben, I got Pokemon questions for you. If you could make a new Pokemon, what would it be and why?
A new Pokemon, what would it be and why? Ooh. I think my mind immediately jumps to either like very large or very small. I'm thinking like something about prehistoric animals. You know, we already have a couple. We have like Yanmega, we have Mamoswine, a lot of those Gen 4 ancient power mons. I would want to do another one of those, like something of that era of like giant beasts. A lot of people have talked about the ground sloth.
I would say the ground sloth.
Yeah, we need something like real big. On the flip side of that, I was thinking something really small. Another bat, perhaps, like a fruit bat. Maybe some kind of slug.
Ooh.
A lot of underwater things. Another octopus. We don't have enough, in my opinion. Like, Octillery is great. We could have another one.
We have Clobdropus.
And they're amazing, too, but they're land creatures, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
They're not water type. I want to do another water type octopus, which sounds basic, but I just feel like we need another one.
Okay, sure, yeah. Water psychic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what Pokemon game is your favorite and why?
So I am going to say my favorite is Omega Ruby because I feel like it expanded quite well on the original Ruby and Sapphire generation, but I got to play it for the first time, like as an adult. So there's a lot of charm in going back to the original Gen 3, like on the Game Boy, you know, I have my little SP, play my little Ruby. Amazing. But I love that they brought them into the 3DS era with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And I feel like they added a lot of amazing elements. They kept true to the original games, in my opinion. There was a lot of other connectivity, you know, between X and Y and between the previous gens. And I just really liked that it came out like when I was a freshman in college. So it was like a very good, fun time.
Way to make me feel old.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it just I laugh sometimes when I look at it and I go, oh yeah, that's how old I am now. When did that happen?
Yeah, time flies.
Okay, so what is your favorite Pokemon merchandise that you own?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. I have a couple answers. I know that's a cop out. So I will say I don't have a Swampert plush, so I'm kind of fake for
But I do remember you had a friend with you when you were at a convention.
Yes. So yeah, let me go through my faves that I have. They're all like in my living room right now. But I have the Claude Sarah plush that just came out a couple months ago, because it immediately when they announced it, I was like, I'm purchasing this. He's just a very, very good plush. I have a little Gengar keychain that is on my backpack that I bring to school. I am an adult with a backpack, yes. I've had him for a very long time.
I actually got rid of my laptop case and got a backpack, Pokemon backpack with a laptop compartment. One of the ones I saw in Pokemon Center. However, I will say this, the backpack did fall. And as I did notify all of you last weekend, I will need to have my entire LED touchscreen replaced on this computer now.
No. Okay, so the backpack is cute, but not necessarily like defensive.
It has a padded compartment for laptops. Because we totally took it to California and everything.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it fell off my desk at work, it
So tragic.
Kind of. So you were saying, sorry, backpack.
Oh, yes. No, we have to talk about the most important one. No. The most important one here is I have a Snorlax plush that I gifted my partner after he got a major surgery. And he literally has become like our adopted son.
Aww.
Like, he has his own Instagram, actually. I have to post more on it, but it does exist.
Aww.
Yeah, cute. Yeah. Big Chungus the Snorlax. Yes, I brought him to OhioCon when we were there. Oh my gosh, I'm literally going to plug his Instagram if y'all want to follow it. I have to look up what it is because I don't remember. Okay, yes, it's big.chumbo.
How do you spell that?
Chumbo is Chumbo. It's a riff on Big Chungus.
Okay. Okay, You heard it here. okay, so that said, I got to ask you a few other questions. So now we have the fun questions. Okay. These are very random. I have both these. Okay. What would your slogan be if you were a brand?
If I was a brand?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's the slogan for the brand?
I feel like it would be something to do with sleeping. Something about
when you're here, you're asleep.
Yeah, like a better night's rest or something like that. Very similar to like a mattress firm slogan.
A better night's rest. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to respond.
I'm sleepy. I can't help it.
So how would you sell ice cream in the Arctic?
Okay, so we can't focus on the cold aspect, obviously. I feel like we gotta bring out the other aspects of some ice cream. Like the sweet parts. We gotta bring out the chunky parts. I mean, a lot of candy is so individually wrapped and all, but ice cream, you can put it all into one bowl. I mean, get all your flavors in the same spot.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a take. If you had any exotic animal as a pet, what would it be and why?
I think I'd want some kind of reptile, like a small reptile. So like a lizard or like a very small alligator, if that was possible. like you know, only like this big.
A pocket alligator.
Pocket alligator. Yeah, I think that would be great. Because I love the fuzzy, regular. Yeah, pocket. One pocket is sand, one pocket's alligator. Yeah.
No, that's great. I love it. Pocket gator. So, Ben, I love having you here, and I appreciate you coming on here today. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode.
Sounds good. Happy to be here.